Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Here's the situation. Hold on, everybody. It's over. We think.
No. No. Strong. No.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
To take a guy that won't be ready to play for at least 4 years. Germany's a great city.
I'm gay.
Yeah. Space Force.
Head coach.
Oh, God. What?
Porter mode is clutch.
My son is an idiot.
Rocking you on a Friday. Why did
Merry
I say that?
Christmas, Beach.
All right, what up?
Good montage.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye. It was a good montage, thank you.
You got the GERD over there?
Well, I just ate one of those. We're finally almost out of those. What are those candies called?
Almond Roca?
No, yeah. We are not almost out of them.
Yeah, we are.
There's an entire closet full
still?
Of them waiting to be restocked.
I mean, we are getting, I'd say we maybe have 30% of the stash left, but it's still pretty strong.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we could refill the entire.
Yeah, we could.
Damn it.
The basket full of them.
I eat two of those at least a day.
They are hard to say no to.
They're so good.
Yes. Well, Almond Roca is delicious. So you walk by it and it's there. And then you can convince yourself because of how small they are, like, oh, it doesn't even count.
That's right.
Nine later, you're like,
I think
whoops.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
No.
It's too small.
It's like negative calories at that point.
How many calories are even in that thing? Five? Two? One and a half?
I'm going to say for something that small, I'm going to say that thing is 100 calories.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good trade-off. I will trade 100 calories for that deliciousness.
Yeah.
Now, if you're starting to get into 300-400 calories,
oh well,
can't do it.
All right. Well, a little more.
Watching my girlish figure.
Yeah. So I'm looking here that apparently that's 200 calories.
Oh, they're 200?
200.
All right. Well, I'll still make the sacrifice.
Oh wait! Hold on.
No. Oh, no.
They're doing the serving size.
Oh, so how many serving? Why would they do that?
I hate that.
That is the worst.
Just tell me how.
Yes.
I get it if you're doing chips or something, but an Almond Roca.
Ooh, I've got the variable scale over here. I can switch it.
Tell me how much is in the one damn Almond Roca.
In one Almond Roca, like one piece, it's 66.7 calories, 4.7 grams of fat.
Yeah, because it's 200 calories for three Almond Roca.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Legit.
This is great.
You're great.
It's also telling me that it'll take you 18 minutes walking 3 miles per hour to burn that off. Or 9 minutes bicycling 10 miles an hour.
I love when we do Like, it's that kind of math. Like, I'll just burn it off. No, you won't. No, you won't. See those people, they go and they like walk on their run on the treadmill for 25 minutes. And they're like, I earned this muffin Gatorade. And then later that night, you're like, oh, I really earned this this burger too. Did you?
Well, this is what people tell themselves when they want something that they know they shouldn't have.
Yes. They always say, if you want to lose weight, keep a food journal, and you're forced to to reconcile with what you actually eat. Because it's usually the stuff in between the meals. You're like, well, that didn't count. That wasn't a meal. Yeah, everything you put in your mouth counts.
I'm going to have a shake. It's
that's a
really
big part of like Weight Watchers formula, because they make you document everything. Yes. And that element of it makes you way more aware of what you're doing.
Yes. If you actually have to write down what you're eating, you will all of a sudden be like, holy crap. Like, you think about how many times like you sit down before a meal and you eat, you know, chips and salsa or a handful of nuts.
Basket of bread.
Yeah. You're just like, that doesn't count. That's not my meal. That's just a pregame, let alone drinking. You're drinking your calories. You know.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, it's not your fault.
God.
They're trying to make you fat.
Well, and we have such a, like, I'm all for body positivity and feeling good, but this whole you can be healthy at any weight, to hell you can. It doesn't work that way. You can be healthy at any weight. No, 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 you can't. That's not the way science works. You can feel good about yourself at any weight if you want, but something tells me your internal organs and your knees and everything else are not going to be like, well, I know my cholesterol is shockingly bad, but I'm healthy at any weight because I feel good about myself. Like, we've reached this weird point where we don't want to admit that what we're doing isn't working and there's an epidemic. And so, we're actively leaning into it, too. Like, during COVID, the number one thing they told you was for big people. If you're big and you're, like, big and being old, you can't do anything about being old. You can do something about being big. But, like, you're not allowed to say that because then you're shaming someone. Well. I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want to do there.
I think the key is you kind of got to learn about food a little bit.
Yeah.
And what, I don't know, there's just a lot of bad crap out there that we've been force-fed for a lot of years. And if you don't know any better, it's like, it's cheap, it's good, it's like, oh, it's great.
Yep.
But if you really learn about just the differences in, you know, say, for example, small example, sourdough bread versus regular bread, or organic versus non-organic.
White bread.
Or, yeah, like just all that stuff is it's pretty enlightening. It's like, and it's amazing what it does to your body. Like, you feel it, you notice it. It's just very.
But, hey.
That's the sustainable way to do it.
Hey, we don't need it anymore. We got Ozempic. And that's the, you know.
Yeah, see, that's. That's a whole nother level of bad.
I can eat whatever the hell I want and still lose weight? Yeah, Ozempic, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, 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 Ozempic. You know.
Shut up.
And believe me, I come from a family that has some of the most dysfunctional relationships with food that you can possibly imagine. And it takes you a while to break it, but you can break the cycle.
A lot of it's just education.
Yes.
That's what I've come to learn.
Yeah. And realizing that you don't want to weigh 400 pounds and die of a heart attack. Yes,
change,
habits.
You got to change some
change
habits.
Change some habits.
All right. Would you like to learn about the 12 Trump jurors?
I can't believe we found 12 impartial jurors.
Dude.
That's impossible,
did
right?
We? No, I don't think we did. And I think after I read you their quotes, you may agree with me. I don't know. I've been thinking about this for a long time. It's stunning to me that there could be 12 people impartial towards him. 12. There's everyone has an opinion on him.
Yes.
Good or bad. Yeah. One way or the other.
Well,
almost is no indifferent.
No.
I'm trying to think who it might have been Clay Travis who was like, he was calling
your boy.
He was calling on everyone in New York. He goes,
yeah, that's
look,
your boy.
He's like, all you Trumpers, just find a way to get on that jury and no matter what, not guilty. I'm like, that's illegal, but all right.
That's not how this is supposed to work.
Maybe that's how that works, but you know.
Let me pre-decide how I'm going to rule in this trial.
Okay, so the Wall Street Journal had this. Juror number 12 said, quote, I have no opinions until I am presented with the information in the courtroom, end quote.
Lies!
This is a woman who is a physical therapist. She says her news sources are CNN, and she listens to sports and faith podcasts.
Oh, okay.
Her hobbies are paddleboarding with her husband and their dog.
Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
So she's full of crap,
I feel
right?
Like she has a labradoodle, by the way.
Is she not
Nothing
full of
wrong
crap?
With that.
I mean,
she's full of crap.
Seems like it a little bit.
I have no opinions until I am presented with the information in the courtroom. Look, that sounds nice,
but
that sounds like you're trying to get on the jury.
Yeah,
like that.
But what else?
Right.
Like, what do you want her to say? That?
That's right. And that's what I come to learn after I read through these for you guys. You'll hear. You realize there really is no way to get a truly impartial jury. You just have to trust what people say.
Well, this is why I've always been terrified to like go to a serious trial is I'm convinced that the only way to get on a jury nowadays is prove that you are a moron that pays attention to nothing. And now I'm putting my fate in those people's hands. That terrifies me. It absolutely terrifies me.
Do you remember the story I told you about when I was in the jury box?
You were in the jury box.
So I went in, and I actually really think...
Because it was like a theft. If someone stole like a trailer or something.
He stole a trailer, yeah. Well, when you go to jury duty, you just have to sit there in a room of a bunch of other people, and 95% of them, their name never gets called, right?
Yeah.
So it's really boring and stupid. I wanted to get called. I want to go see... I think the judicial system is interesting. I like being in a...
Rob's, get me on that jury.
I think it's cool to be in a courtroom and watch... You know, these judges are kind of badass, you know? Like, it's just... The whole operation is interesting to me.
Sure.
So I got in there, and I was in the jury box. I was one of 12 people that they put in there. Now, each attorney gets the opportunity to get rid of...
Yeah, you can dismiss a certain number. They ask you questions,
jurors,
and they're like,
yeah.
I don't like the cut of his jib.
So the defense attorney, I passed his muster. I don't remember what he asked. Mm. But the prosecution came up, and she starts walking in the jury box between us, and she says, on a scale of 1 to 10, I want you all to tell me how much sense you have to get out of the rain. Scale of 1 to 10. 10 being I'm leaving the rain.
It's such a weird question.
Very weird, but it wasn't about the question.
Yeah.
So she asked this, and in my head, I'm the second person up. There's one guy in front of me, and then there's me. We're going to go in order. And in my head, I'm like, well, what a dumb question. 10.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of the rain. Absolutely. I don't like being rained on.
Yeah. Seems simple.
This
enough.
Is what I'm thinking in my head. The first guy goes 6. And I'm like, what are you, an idiot?
This is my point about jurors.
And then she comes to me and right before I answer, she goes, wait, I just want to say one thing. She says, in all my years of doing this and asking this question, nobody ever says 10. That's what she said.
I don't see how.
And then what do I do?
You say 10.
I went, 10, bitch!
Asachi says 10.
Instantly deleted.
Yeah.
For that.
And
do you know why?
Resourceful little bitch.
Yeah, because they don't want absolutes, right?
I think it's either that or it's I was coerced into saying 10.
Oh.
Because.
Even though you weren't. You were already going to say it, but she could see it that way.
Exactly. Yeah. She saw it as, if I say this, the next person usually says 10. That means they can be talked into saying 10.
She found Isaac her show pony, and she didn't want any part of it.
That's right. She knew that defense attorney had me in his hip
Interesting.
Pocket.
I assume that you don't want people that are absolute one way or the other. You want people that are more towards the middle, because if you're... Well, maybe I could be in the rain. Maybe I couldn't. You have to, you know, those are the people that have seemed, you know, malleable.
That? What would you have said?
10.
Exactly.
Like getting out. Like,
that was the weirdest experience of my life.
Because, like, deciding how you feel about a BLT, you could be meh. But, like, rain, murder, theft.
Yeah.
Like, it's
binary.
I'm
gonna get out of the rain. Like, who wants to be
in or no?
Can I ask the question, like, are we doing something cool in the rain? Like, are there uptops involved? I don't know.
Stupid.
Well, and I often wonder this. Just, like, let's say I go into the, like... There is a murder trial, right? If I go in to jury duty and I shave my beard and put on a long sleeve shirt and coat, so you don't see any of my tattoos, my beard is shaved, I got to believe that I am a completely different juror than if I show up with my beard the way it normally is. And even if I'm wearing, like right now I'm wearing a collared shirt, and I show up with that because you can see all of my arm tattoos, you can see a tattoo on my chest and my beard. I 100% believe that I could be eliminated just based on me showing up. And all that is what I decided to wear and whether or not I shave.
I don't know that they can do that, though.
Oh, I think they can.
But I think he's got to, whoever the attorney is, if they look at you and go, ooh, that's not my guy,
yeah,
they have to find a way to get you out of there. I don't think they can just say, oh, look at him, he's gone.
I thought you got a couple just throwaways, like for whatever reason, don't want them. And then I thought there are others that you could argue, this person's biased, this person, whatever. Like, but I think you do get a couple. This is just my call. I don't need a reason. I think you do.
Really?
I think you do get that.
I think you get a couple like right at the get go. You're like, nope.
I'm gonna get rid of all the women. I'm gonna get rid of all the black guys.
Well, I mean, there is an element of that where the racial makeup, people go into these trials. My dad was a prosecutor for years. Talks about that jury makeup is the sneaky key to successful defenses or prosecutions.
I can see that.
It makes a difference.
Well, the other thing that the text line's saying here, during the OJ trial, the prosecution specifically mentioned how they had to take people who would be willing to spend more time away from their daily lives. Consequently, they got a much less educated group who was not at all familiar with DNA, easily manipulated by the defense, etc.
Yeah.
And so I think even if it's people who have busy lives, if you get jurors who are annoyed because they have to be there, that's problematic for the lawyers who are arguing it. You need people who are like okay being there.
Do you think she didn't like that I had my powdered wig on in the jury box? Maybe that's what it was. The judge was upstaged.
God, you show up with a powdered wig and are like, I am ready to
rule. I am the juror.
The rule juror.
Objection.
Objection. The judge in that case was a badass, too. He was like this older white dude, big guy, and he was intense up there. I thought he was awesome. Shout out, whoever you are.
Yeah.
He was like, you're dismissed.
I've only been in the courtroom for one trial, and it was a rape trial, and I, too, was like, holy crap.
It's a scene, man.
It is a scene.
And that's intense.
And I was like, holy crap. Like, this dude's, like, life is on the line here. And it was, as the first time I'd sat in a courtroom, and I was enthralled. But at the same time, equally terrified. And I was so nervous about making any noises and I told this, but like.
You didn't fart?
Oh, no, like I was afraid to cough because the judge was a lady and she was like, it was iron fist time. But there was a big pillar. It was in downtown Vancouver and it really bothered me. There was a big pillar right in the middle of the courthouse. So a lot of times I couldn't really see. So I kept doing the lean, you know, the lean around so I could see. And
who were you looking at?
Well, the
judge?
No, where they were, the stand. When they were
the stand.
The person on the stand, I couldn't really see the person on the stand or the attorneys. So I kept doing the lean around, like trying to get a better view, and I felt like the judge was looking at me, and then I got scared. So then I just stared at the... She scared me. She was probably looking at someone else.
No, she was looking at you.
But I was like,
she didn't like your shenanigans.
I can't see, so I was just trying to lean, and I felt like she was getting ready to tell me to knock it off, and so I got so scared, I just sat there and stared at the pillar. I was really intimidated.
It's a very serious space.
It is.
And it's kind of cool.
I wasn't prepared for it.
Okay, so we only got through one juror.
One.
Okay, so she's a physical therapist. She said, I have no opinions until I'm presented with the information in the courtroom. Okay, we'll learn about the other 11 Trump trial jurors next on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I'm going to get rid of all the women. I'm going to get rid of all the black guys. I don't think that's cool, dude.
Well, you're the one that said it.
That is true.
It's a little uncomfortable. This is why you're not on a jury.
Could you mix in a black?
So we are learning about the Trump trial jurors.
The judicial system.
So juror number 12. Okay, so where was that?
Juror 1 sounds like a lot of fun at parties, as someone said. The Make Room for Text.
No, she's juror number 12.
Oh, juror number 12. Yeah. We're going backwards.
We're going backwards.
Remember, one juror is already asked to be off because like her information was getting leaked, and she's like, I ain't dealing with this crap.
Yeah, she got out of there.
But I don't want, that's one jury that I do not want to be on. Because some wackadoo is going to show up at my door one way or the other.
Juror number 11 on Trump, quote, how he is in public and how he himself portrays himself in public, it is not my cup of tea.
Okay.
This is a woman. She is a product developer at an apparel company.
And she made it on, huh?
She's from California. Mm. Her news source, she says, is the Nightly News. And her hobbies are traveling and exploring New York and eating.
Huh.
She sounds like a liberal.
Yeah, well, I mean, but to be fair, I mean, obviously, he's got women that like him. But if unless you're a hardcore Republican, I would assume that not a lot of ladies.
Well, that's why I don't understand how it's possible to even get him to get an impartial jury, which he does deserve.
Exactly. But like, that's my point is like, how I got to be careful with this. But like his whole thing is he's on trial for sleeping with a porn star while his wife just gave birth. Like,
I know. Right. What woman is going to be the first two are women.
Yeah, it's I think if I'm a Trump attorney, I would think I want men that are like, hey, look at, you know.
Well, there are more men than women.
Yeah, I think that I'm assuming that men are pigs and that you would want more men on the jury than women. But
juror number 10, quote, I don't have a strong opinion about Mr. Trump, end quote. He is a man. He is an he works for an e-commerce company. He's from Ohio. His news source, he says, he does not follow the news, but if anything, it's the New York Times.
Hmm.
And the fact about him is he likes animals.
Well, I mean, the time, like, I would say originally I was like, okay, that's kind of what you're looking for if you're Trump.
It's like Jeopardy. Tell us one interesting thing about yourself.
But the New York Times.
Like animals. Weird. He likes animals. Like, it's so vague.
I know. It's odd.
I like turtles.
I just think all these people are full of it. Okay. Juror 9. On Trump, quote, I do not agree with a lot of his politics and his decisions as president, but I could leave that at the door and be a totally impartial juror, end quote.
Well, and that's
what you're going to have to
honestly,
get.
Honestly,
like I said, you just have to believe
that's the
them.
Best.
When somebody says that, you have to believe them.
And I'm being dead serious on this. You know, I'm not a fan. I do think, in all honesty, I think I could be an impartial juror. As long as it wasn't something involving, like, kids. I think I could do the job of put all the stuff aside. Did they lay out a case that I can say he's guilty? Look at the facts. Yeah. I think I could do.
I think I could generally. Not
be
with
tough
him.
With him.
Not with him.
I get it.
I'm out on that dude.
Well, like I said, he is.
He's the worst.
He's tough.
So she is a woman, a speech therapist. She is from New Jersey. Her news sources are New York Times, TikTok, and other social media platforms. Her hobbies, she likes... So you can tell she's younger, right?
Yes.
Her hobbies, she likes to hang out with friends, go to restaurants, and watch TV. So pretty normal.
Yeah, but again, I don't think... Again, none of these sound like people that you would... The Trump team would want, I wouldn't think.
Juror 8, quote, I don't think too much about politics.
All right, well, that's...
This is a man. He's retired. Previously worked in wealth management.
There you go. That's the guy. That's the one you want.
His news sources are BBC, CNBC, among other outlets. His hobbies are fly fishing, skiing, yoga, and meditation.
You don't like the yoga meditation, but...
Fly fishing.
Yeah. Originally, that was who you want. Finance guy,
the
old
retired white guy.
Doesn't care. Like, that's... Because remember, you don't need... I think you just need one that refuses to convict, right? Go hung jury style.
Yeah, just one.
So that right there, that's the one. If you're a Trumper, I think that's the one you're holding on to. Old rich guy.
Here's another man, juror number 7. I quote, I have political views as to the Trump presidency. I do not have any particular opinions about him personally. End quote.
How is that possible?
I couldn't agree more. I don't think that is possible.
That seems harder than not being biased at all.
I think he's lying. But at the same time, well, you know, they put him on there. He's a male lawyer from North Carolina. He says his news sources are the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. And his hobbies, he enjoys spending time outdoors with his children.
I just love, like you, Buck said, tell us one thing, the dating app.
These people all seem really boring.
What would be your one?
I like to party.
I like to party with 2 hours extra mayo.
I'm going to show you my boobs. Juror 6, quote, Trump and I probably have different beliefs, but I don't think that invalidates anything about who he is as a person. This is a woman. She is a software engineer from New York. And her news sources are TikTok, Facebook, and the New York Times.
Can I just tell you, that terrifies me, anyone whose news sources are TikTok and Facebook.
Is Facebook really a news source?
Well, yeah, it is.
That's where everyone conducted their own research during COVID,
remember? I'll tell you what, I think I'd rather someone's news source be Facebook than TikTok. But either that is...
Her hobby, snowboarding. Mm-hmm. Okay. Juror number 5. President Trump speaks his mind. I would rather that in a person than someone who's in office and you don't know what they are doing behind the scenes. This is a woman. She is a teacher at a charter school. She's a native New Yorker. Her news sources are Google and TikTok. She says, I don't like news or newspapers.
Yeah, well,
and her hobbies are photo shoots with her friends.
Dare I say that may be the best Trump jury that we... or the I'm
for
going,
him?
For him. That may be the best one so far.
She seems like she could be a little bit of a Karen.
The first part of what you read sounded very much like she'd be voting along those party lines.
Yeah. Well, the idea of like, well, he speaks his mind. I don't care what he says, but he's...
I'd way rather have someone that marches to the beat of their own drum than some vanilla nobody.
Yeah. It's like he doesn't talk like any of those other politicians. What?
He's going to drain the swamp.
Juror number 4. They asked, does this person have strong feelings about Trump? Quote, no, not really. This is a man, security engineer for 25 years. News sources are scattering of all things here and there, and his hobbies are woodworking and metalworking.
Hmm. Okay. So just...
Milk toast guy?
Yeah, I guess.
Juror number 3, quote, I don't think I need to read someone's mind to determine their intent or at least make a good guess as to it.
Confusing, but okay.
This is a male lawyer from Oregon.
Hey.
News sources, The Wall Street Journal and The New York Times, and shockingly, he enjoys hiking and running.
Hmm. I'm waiting for someone to just Newsmax. All this to do is Newsmax, and that's it.
Juror number 2, quote, I might not like some of his policies, but there has been some good for the United States. This is a man. He's an investment banker. He likes hiking, music, and concerts. News sources, he reads basically everything and follows Michael Cohen, Trump, and anyone who might affect markets on social media.
Huh. All right. Well,
I bet you the Trump people like that guy.
I would assume so.
And then the last one is juror number 1. Has juror number 1 heard of the other criminal case against Trump? Quote, I've heard of some of them. End quote.
Well, there's a lot.
Which is a funny question.
Yes.
He is a male. He is in sales. He's originally from Ireland. His news sources are the New York Times, Fox News, and MSNBC. Hobbies, anything outdoors. Mm. And those are your 12 Trump trial jurors.
Well, I mean,
how do you feel about that?
I don't think it sounds like a great... I mean, there's such so little to go on, but it doesn't sound like a great jury for Trump. But again, you just need one or two.
And they might have some support for maybe 2 or 3.
This is how dumb I am. I was under the impression that you couldn't know anything about the subject.
No.
In other words, in him being a U.S. president...
Yeah, everyone's going to know something.
Right, so I didn't really know how they, like, what the qualifications were there. Like, how do you navigate that? And it sounds like they just
trust what
you're saying to them.
Yeah, there are certain things that will eliminate you.
So you could easily get on the jury if you knew what the right things to say.
Yes, and it is upon the at that point is it upon the attorney to make sure that someone who's poisoning the jury pool isn't on there. And you can get eliminated if they feel that you're doing that or you're trying to get on it. But yeah, I mean it. You know, you can't just have 12 people that know absolutely nothing. It just comes down to, can you be fair and impartial and put aside prejudice? God, why can't I say that? Put aside your prejudice. I'm going to go with that and rule on the facts. And that's why I said, I think I actually might be able to do that. Where I could say, look, I may not like the guy or agree with him, but look, this is what he's on trial for. And by the way, it does seem like I'm not trying to cast any sort of a disparaging thing here. It certainly sounds like his own argument is everybody does it. Like, we're not disputing that I did it because you know that I did it. It was just like,
which sounds like an admission of guilt.
Well, I mean, we
did it, but everyone does is not a defense.
That seems to be the only defense. It's like, yeah, I did it, but I can't believe you're prosecuting me for this. Like that is the defense right now.
Someone said on the text line, the whole trial isn't even about him. It's about the interpretation of this specific law. What he did isn't in question. We know what he did. Was it a campaign finance infraction? Yes, yes or no? Did it violate a law? And, yes. And he's right about that.
And I think if you put any of us up there to interpret that law and whether it was broken, I think we could do it. I think, personal biases aside, I think if you're just talking about that infraction, it shouldn't be that hard for 12 people to decide whether he did or didn't do it. But here we are.
Well, what about the other five trials?
Different story.
I just know you couldn't find me a case that I would rather be on less than that one.
Which, you mean
this one right here.
Why?
Any of the ones involving him.
China.
Because I don't want my name stamped to that at all. I just...
Yeah. I want no part of it.
Nope.
Too hot?
Well, it's so divisive.
Too hot
it's,
in the kitchen?
Yeah, I just don't... I don't trust someone not to leak my information. I don't want Alex Jones up my key. I want nothing to do with this.
Now, Trump may off you.
Exactly. You know, now that Brian Koberger one that's going on in Idaho right now.
Is he on trial?
Yeah, he's on trial.
I think it's supposed to start in June, that trial?
Yeah, I was reading today that the defense attorney, because I guess in some states, you have to outline what your defense is. You have to say, hey, this is what we're going to, you know, we're going to say. And, he likes taking drives at night by himself.
Yeah, they're going to maintain that he did not do it.
Yeah, they're going with I turn off my cell phone and drive around certain neighborhoods all the time. I am fascinated
by... What do you got to lose?
Well, and that's my thing. I am often fascinated by defense attorneys who come up with the most absurd things, and yet, Casey Anthony, it worked.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. I mean,
the juice.
Well, yeah, his was just... we know why that happened, but... the affluenza kid, someone sat in if you were to sit there and tell me, hey, some rich 15-year-old piece of crap got drunk and mowed down a bunch of people, and our defense is going to be he's too rich to know right from wrong, I would have laughed your ass out of that courtroom. And yet it worked. So, I mean, why not? I mean, you come up with a defense the best you can, and, you know, you throw it against the wall and see what sticks.
Saying that trial might not happen until 2025.
Yeah.
The Koberg one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just saw today that they are the defense is saying, hey, this is how we're gonna do it.
If they were questioning you for the Trump trial and they asked you favorite hobby, would you say two girls at the same time?
Are you trying to get
spice it up a little?
Are you trying to get off the jury? Maybe say porn? Classic Euro porn?
They wouldn't like that?
It happens. Well, the jury or the trial is about a porn star, so I'm guessing no.
Don't get me wrong, I like the tatted up whore too.
All right.
Golf? All right. Insurrections? January 6th? I don't know.
Yeah, big fan of storming the Capitol.
Look, I'm pretty sure I could get off any jury.
Yeah, again, it's just like you just got to know the right things to say.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
No.
And most people, I will say, when I was doing it,
they don't want it, right?
Oh, dude, there was a lot of people that were trying to get out of there,
yeah.
Making up stuff, and
I've never been even called it. Well, I got called to jury duty, but I was moving from county to county, and so.
Well, like I said, when you get called,
I've never done it.
It doesn't mean you're actually going to get in there.
Yeah.
You just sit around and
wait. But I've never even been called to jury duty except for that one time. And because I moved, I didn't have to show up.
Bitch and wave, bro.
Yeah.
That's next. Here's Buck. Somebody texted in and said, look up the Twinkie defense. It's an all-timer.
Twinkie defense?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So I'll read you what that means.
Okay.
We're talking about jury duty and
the
Trump trial and everything. The term Twinkie defense is an umbrella term that in the most general sense refers to an unconventional defensive argument. The term originated from the 1979 trial of Dan White, a San Francisco politician who was charged with first-degree murder. A testifying psychiatrist pointed out that White's consumption of sugary foods, such as Twinkies, could lead to diminished capacity. Using this testimony, White's lawyers were successfully able to persuade the jury that White lacked the premeditation and deliberation elements necessary to establish first-degree murder. He was ultimately convicted of a lighter offense of involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he ate too many Twinkies.
He ate too many Twinkies.
So now... You know, any sort of defense, it's they're saying that that term kind of has been associated with any sort of medical related defense.
Yeah.
Is you might hear them say it's the Twinkie defense.
I just don't get how people can be so stupid to buy crap like this. You know, again, the affluenza thing, the Casey, I like watched that Casey Anthony trial. Blows my mind that you got 12 jurors to look at that and be like, don't think she did. Like, this just goes to show why I'm just terrified of going to, like, having my life in someone else's hands. 12 jurors, because I'm convinced that the vast majority of randos that end up on these things are morons. Absolute morons.
It's supposed to be a jury of your peers. You look around, you're like, these ain't my peers.
No. That's why I said, like, we think that I say this all the time. We fall into this trap of thinking that the people you associate with are the average Americans. And they are not.
That's your echo chamber.
You need to go to a bus stop at like midnight. Go to a Walmart sometime at 11:30 on a Thursday. And you'll find out that what you think is the average American is not. And realize that whatever, and by the way, vice versa. If you're one of those people that's in Walmart at 11:30 on a Thursday, and you've got some rich dude from Camas or Lake O, and they're on your, it's the same thing. Like, that's not a jury of your peers. Like, go back and look through the history of America. It's really sad when you see, like, African-Americans on trial, like, in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. And some people would say even today. And you look around, and it's like a jury of my peers. And it's just like 12 angry white men from 1964 sitting on trial of a black guy. And they're just like, oh, I can't wait for this one. It's just, and I understand that there's, you know, it's better than most systems out there. But boy, I struggle with sometimes the amount of crap that gets by as the defense. Even he wasn't like, what was the guy that was recently? It was a guy at a mental hospital, and he's like, hey, I want to bash a woman over the head with a rock. And then he gets out, and as he's leaving, he picks up a rock and bashes the woman in the head. And they're like, well, he can't stand trial. Why the hell not? He said he was going to bash a woman in the head with a rock. He bashed a woman in the head with a rock. And like, nah, he's not.
Well, as his attorney, I think the Twinkie defense fits perfectly. He eats too many Twinkies.
Not guilty by reason of insanity. Then put his crazy ass inside a prison. He won't know the difference.
And wasn't it that they couldn't hold him there anymore? Because,
yes.
Because they're like, well, I mean, yeah. We've done all we can do. We got to release him now.
Put Woody Woodpecker's ass in the cell and tell him that it's a Chuck E. Cheese. If he's really crazy, well, cool. Then you won't mind sitting in prison because you bashed a woman in the head with a rock. Yeah.
Somebody said, why the hell would I want a jury of my peers? Craig from Wingstop is not my peer. Give me a jury of people educated in law. Why not have full-time jurors as a job?
See, I tend to agree with that, but then we get into a whole, you know,
yeah.
There's a whole...
How do you apply?
Yes.
That's
tough.
Yes. Lobbying for jurors?
I will tell you what, and I know
I'd be a full-time juror.
It's very unconstitutional, but if you ask me, which would I rather have? Craig from Wingstop and a jury of my peers, or 12 people that are like... Six public defenders, six prosecutors, and that's my... I will take that every time.
Give me 12 kids who just passed the bar at age 26 or whatever. I don't care.
100%.
Give me a couple of people that can read and interpret something. Again,
Hundo
I just...
Hundo P.
Terrifies me.
All right, we'll be back to wrap it up after this on The Fan. Well, it's really hard to measure the true height of waves, so there's always some debate about... just how high the wave was.
Yeah, like largest wave ever ridden or whatever.
Yeah, well, we have a new record according to some.
Not according to others. Fake news.
So the guy's name is Sebastian Stutner.
Mm-hmm.
He's a German big wave surfer. And they are saying that he has surfed possibly the biggest wave ever measured. And it is a whopping 93.73 feet.
And when you see it, it looks so stupid. Like, it's not even real.
There is drone footage of it.
It's just silly.
Yeah, baby!
So there's the Hawaiian scale of measuring, which takes from the back of the wave not the face. Then there's the issue of the wave's trough or the bottom and determining exactly where that is. And then there's the element of subjectivity embroiled in it all. So in surfing, they always fight about this.
Yeah, there's no measuring stick that you can go out there and ask the wave to stand still.
But it's generally thought that the largest waves are, and I watched a documentary on this place once. It's nuts. It's a place in Portugal, and this is where he rode this wave.
I've watched this. This is amazing.
Nazarene?
Is that it?
Nazare. Anyway, I think it was a docu-series, wasn't it? About some...
I think you're thinking of Point Break, and that's Bells Beach, Australia.
What?
Shot here in Oregon.
I believe that was a documentary as well. Is that not? No?
What was that doc?
I remember watching one on Mavericks, and that's another surfing spot. That one's in California.
Was it called the 100-Foot Wave? Is that it?
Yes, 100-Foot Wave.
Two seasons of that series.
Yeah, I watched it. It was pretty good.
I think I watched season one, but not two.
Well, these waves are... Remember, years ago, we had Laird Hamilton on, and he was like one of the pioneers of this, because these waves up until this point were unrideable because you couldn't... The wave was going too fast, and now they tow them in on, like, jet skis, and that's... You can get up to speed to where you can even attempt to ride these things. Yeah. And it just... You look at them, and it just... Like I said, it's something out of a cartoon. It looks CGI.
Would you even want to be the guy on the jet ski?
Nope. Nope. All the nose. Imagine the force of a 93-foot wave and what happens if something goes wrong. Nah, I'm good, man. Hard no. All the nose.
No. No. Strong no.
By the way, on a completely unrelated note, this came across my timeline, though, and I thought it was great. The over-under on Caris LeVert tonight was 8.5 points. He had 8 in the first quarter. Didn't score another point.
Just like that Lillard one.
Did Lillard not go over with... He had 35 in the first half. And
there was a bet going viral of somebody who had over 35 and a half to make $1,000 or something like that. And he had 35 at the half and didn't score again.
That's why gambling sucks.
Giveth and it taketh. Someone's out there with a LeVert and they're like, 8 points in the first quarter? This thing is
I'm
gold.
So smart.
Single point the rest of the night.
All right, everybody. It's all the damage we can do for one day. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.